Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson, and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. We're glad that you're joining us. We are in the book of Daniel with a series titled Babylon. We're going to dig into it today, but let me introduce to you who's here at the table today.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Angie Preston.
Michael Erdman.
We had an amazing Sunday. Michael, you got to preach in the first service, and for those of you who weren't here in the second service, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us, mm-hmm. and we didn't even get to the message because of what happened with worship and just prayer and ministry with people, and that was awesome.
Yes.
Which also kind of provides maybe a little bit more that we can dig in today, because in wrapping up this series, where there's a lot we're encompassing in just one moment, but let's go around the table. Jacob, we'll start with you, and what stood out from you from the 9 a.m. message from Sunday, and just maybe from the whole series and kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, so if talking specifically this message, we were talking about deliverance, and this has a lot of layers, especially in this portion of Daniel. I mean, Daniel being delivered from the lion's den, the Hebrew boys being delivered from the fiery furnace, mm-hmm. The Israelites being delivered out of the hands of the Babylonians, who had every right and reason and purpose to just slaughter every single one of them.
Yeah.
And they had the means to do it too. And what they did was try, and this is how so many empires are built, is imposing their way of life, their practices, their culture onto other people that they have taken over. And so this is why Daniel is such a role model in this time of Israel's history, in the land of Babylon, in the city of Babylon. And then for us today too, is he is one of the best examples of staying obedient to God, knowing that there's something coming, Jesus. So when he gets into the visions that he sees, the one that always sticks to me is the talking about the Ancient of Days, and he comes with the clouds of heaven like a son of man. So this is pre-incarnate Jesus. But Daniel is seeing the second coming of Jesus. So he doesn't know the first coming. He sees like, oh, man, this is absolutely God that's coming out of the clouds right now. But he looks like a human. So Daniel's seeing Jesus 500 years before Jesus comes on the scene. He's seeing the second coming of Jesus. And so like we get like Revelation part one in the Old Testament.
So cool.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I love these visions, and we could talk about just the visions for forever, but yeah, I love this passage. I love the theme of deliverance in Daniel. And I love the example that Daniel has provided for us. So yeah, this all in all, this series has been a big impact for me. Great lesson, great reminder. Who else?
Yay. I really loved the reminder about prayer and the fact that there is, in fact, a battle happening, a battle raging. And I will just say that I often get impatient when I don't hear an answer or the answer that I want. And Michael, when you expressed God hears you right away, and then battle ensues. And so sometimes we have to wait for the battle to finish before we see the result. And that spoke right to my heart in a way that I really needed to be ministered to. It was really important for me to hear that. I get impatient. I just struggle with not recognizing that there is a spiritual battle happening on my behalf. I believe in spiritual warfare. I can see it in other people's lives. I can see it in my own life. But when it comes to prayer, that explanation was really, really important for me to see, hey, God hears you right away. And then you have to wait. And that's not just waiting. there's stuff happening. And so that was really, I needed to hear that. And I think that was really important for everyone that was here and everybody that's hearing this now, that there's a battle raging and sometimes things need to get fought out before we get the answer.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up.
That was huge.
I want to lean into that really quick because people often go, well, God doesn't God have the power just to blast through and make it happen immediately? Absolutely, he has the power, but he has essentially a creative order in which he created all beings, even supernatural beings, in which he created the earth, the kingdoms that he created, that there are structures of authority. And essentially what a lot of people forget is that spiritual beings they were created with roles. They all have roles. They don't just do willy-nilly whatever they want. They were actually created for a specific purpose. And all those ones that have fallen, that have followed Satan and Satan himself, they still have power and authority within the realm that they were given power and authority of when God created them. And so though God has all the power, he could destroy everything in the snap of his fingers, but way more is going on than that, than we know. And everything's so connected, and God is always doing so many things. There's free will. There's all these elements. It's way more complex than we think. And so we constantly, when we need something from God, we often want to pray or ask or whatever, and then expect God to just immediately what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And it doesn't, that's not the reality of the spiritual realm. It's not even the reality of the physical realm. And this is where we talk a lot about God is in control. And usually when people use that phrase, what they're saying is God is controlling everything all the time. That's not true. God is not a controller of everything all the time. The scripture is very clear that there's principalities and powers that are in the heavenly realms, ruling and reigning areas and things and so on and so forth. And the enemy has power on this earth, and he is actually in control of the earth. And God does break through, and God does work through believers, and God does answer our prayers, hear our prayers. And God, there are times when God breaks through in an instant. But there's just more going on than
that. And there's times that he doesn't.
Exactly. Yep. And it's warfare.
Definitely.
And so when we let's just use a really practical thing of when we're praying for a change in our lives, whatever that change may be it in ourselves or in somebody we know or the scenarios that are going on around us, there's a lot going on to that. And when we pray, we are heard, and we also need to trust what's going on behind the scenes and continue to pray.
And how are we fighting?
Yeah,
there's a spiritual there's a spiritual battle that's happening, but how are we fighting? How are we warring for ourselves and for those that we love and the prayers that we have?
Yeah, and then there's a whole other aspect, which is how do we fight and in victory, knowing that the answer will come? It's not a matter of if it will or won't. It's a matter of when, and do we stay faithful in the midst of that? And I think that's great. I love that you brought that up, because that whole portion of this book of Daniel is a quick little like window glimpse into some of the things that are going on in other realms, spiritually speaking, that we don't understand. And it's beautiful in a way, because we get to see something through what Daniel saw and experienced that teaches us something new about the things we can't see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want puppet master God. I don't want him to be in control of everything all the time. I mean, like, if he were to negate our own free will, he would cheapen the gift of salvation.
Well, you know what it does is it takes away his goodness.
Mm-hmm. It takes away his goodness.
He could not be a good God.
There was no point to Jesus ruling, if we don't have free will.
There's no point to life.
Yeah.
If we were created to do exactly what he told us to do all the time, I think about it in a child way. Like, why would I want to have a child that's this beautiful merge of me and my wife? Part of the joy is seeing, like, what are they going to become? What are they going to choose? Like, it's this discovery. But then if I had a child then that I could control everything they did all the time, like, what
so
would
boring.
The purpose? Yeah, that would be the lamest thing that you could ever choose, because essentially, you know what you would do is you would just make them do you. they would be you.
Yes.
There wouldn't be any diversity in experience or dynamic relationship or anything. And so anyways, we'll get back on track here.
That's kind of
fun
perfect.
To talk about, but it's like, go ahead, Mike, you were going to jump in on this portion that Angie highlighted.
That the spiritual warfare part of it is something that's really close to me because it's something you can't see. And so you have to remember that it's happening. And these little glimpses, we don't get very many glimpses of what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And, you know, you brought up a good point when we were talking is the semblance of this figure and Jesus in Revelation chapter 1.
Yeah.
And so that even brings an entirely new dynamic to what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Because it was Jesus who was held up. In all intensive terms, I can't prove anything, but it is very similar to the Son of Man that is seen in Revelation by John and who is seen by Daniel. And he was held up by the prince and king of Persia,
right.
It says. And Michael, the chief prince, comes to take over the battle so he can come and give him the word. He came personally to give him the message that the Father had sent. And
what?
Yeah, this is huge.
That's so cool.
which also reveals the integrity of God. Mm. This is kind of what I was telling about. He has the ability to blast through, overpower, take over everything. But in this time, in this era of the universe's existence, though he is king of all, he has decided that the consummation of the coming kingdom is both now and not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is waiting. He wants to save every human being on the earth for eternal salvation. And so he chooses not to, I can't think of a better term, but
overthrow
and take over at this time. And he operates within the creation that he's created and the rules and boundaries that he's created at this time, which is revealed in that portion that you're talking about. But also, here's what's amazing to me is knowing the power that he has, and then how great is that power when you have the self-control not to use it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so he enters into his creation. This is the same thing that Jesus
bridled
did
power.
In flesh. Mm. Is that yeah, exactly.
Bridled
power, controlled power. Control, restraint, like self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, by the way,
which
he has. Yeah, which is humility, is controlled strength, right? And so he steps into this muddiness of like this spiritual smorgasbord of battle, right? And to deliver a message. And you're right, it's beautiful because we have to remember that Jesus, at this point, we could say, is the Word of God not yet made flesh.
Yeah, still
so
fully.
Done. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are still there, their being in heaven. You're seeing a heavenly glimpse of that being, but yet without the manifestation. But here's what's cool is because God is outside of space and time, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever for eternity. So we actually see him in his true form in the book of Daniel, which is the same as in the book of Revelation, mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, and to go back to the point of to show his goodness by not just blasting through the places, it also shows his love. Because here's the thing, is once he overthrows sin and that is attached to it, all of the things, there is no more choice for humanity to choose Christ.
Right.
It's and done. So you have to think about it. His self-control is love. By saying, I don't want anyone to perish, so I will wait
as long as I can.
Because what does it say? He's not slow, as some consider slow.
Right.
He's waiting for all to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so how incredible is just this showing of love that I'm going to even battle the people that I know I can I can defeat so that the future has a chance.
Well, and it makes me, I see a lot of parallels, in all these prophetic chapters of Daniel, but because he's seeing the authority structure of the heavenly realms and all that must take place. And this is what's crazy about the prophetic is we can't understand it. And people hyper focus on trying to know all the answers. You will not.
Yeah.
There are big themes that we should take from it. But I want to talk about this as we're just talking about the spiritual realm. Is a lot of people, one of the simple ways we have to explain the spiritual realm is kind of like our legal system. Like our legal system has a structure of authority. Like you have levels of judges, you have levels of, you have local, you have regional, you have national. And you can't just do whatever you want in a legal system. There are pathways to
that's bonkers.
to the vetting process. And there's an aspect of the heavenly realm and principalities and powers. This is kind of what I was referring to when I was saying these beings that are even fallen beings, they still have power and authority within the realm that they were created for. Unfortunately, it's just cursed. It's reversed, so to speak, where once was supposed to be life now brings death. But so anyways, there you see this navigation of this authority structure and this system, this kingdom system that that is set up. And you see this in the dreams. You see this how God uses like Babylon and Persia and the Medes. And Daniel is seeing all this. He's seeing this crazy, like he's seeing spiritually what is going to be made manifest physically, which is incredible. And within that, we kind of see some of this structure, this authority, this, I'm going to use a lame term, quote unquote, legal system of God of how things work and the process that has to happen for that. Now, even within that, he gets to see a future kingdom. So we were talking about this, how God doesn't just blast through and make it all happen in a second. Daniel gets to see the intricacies, so to speak, of it. But we also see the coming future. We see what we believe to be the Antichrist. We see this future kingdoms of Greece and Egypt and Syria and Rome. Mm. And like God is revealing stuff to Daniel that he's not even going to be alive to see.
Yeah.
And like, let's lean into this part. We talked about it a little bit, Mike, but maybe you can talk about this. It was relationship that gave Daniel access to seeing this. It wasn't about the dreams and visions so much as it was about living in such a relationship with God that God would share his heart almost in a sense and his coming kingdom and let me show you the spiritual because we're so close. Like Daniel, a human being, got to see things that most don't see because of a relationship.
Right. It was his faithfulness it's God above everything else. There was not any writings in Galatians at this time that said, well, here's the gifts that you get with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any of that. It was simply God wants to be my king and he wants to live with me. He wants me to be in communion with him. And so that was exactly how they lived in the entire period of time during Babylon and Persia and all of it. And through that, God was like, hey, let me show you something. Hey, you want to see something cool? Let me show you this. And he got to see these things, even though half the time he didn't understand even what he was seeing. Yet he got to experience God in a way that very few that we know get to. Mm. You know, this isn't a common thing. And I love you know, we try to focus on the prophecy and the meanings and the days and all of this. And while some of that was important, absolutely, the 77 days and all of that, the times that they used to figure out when Christ was going to come, there's parts that Daniel didn't even understand. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says at the end of chapter 12, Daniel's like, hey, what is the outcome of these things? What's going to happen? And Jesus says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to know.
Yeah.
You just don't get to know.
Yeah. There's some things.
Let your mind be
blown.
I'm going
to let you see this, but I'm going to let you see what you can handle to see. Like, and know. And that's the interesting thing is,
it says the same thing in Revelation too. This is shut up. Do not write this down. And yet we focus so much on, I've got it figured out. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know what time and where we're going to go and who's going to go and who's not going to go. And no, you don't. There's sections that the God of the universe left out. You're not going to figure it out.
God has not been hiding algebra problem throughout Scripture that you're supposed to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important, I think, let's go back to the point of that, which is relationship.
Exactly.
God desires to share his heart with us. He desires to share what he's doing, and he can use us to give people a glimpse into what's going to happen and all those sorts of things. But it's not about knowing all the detail. It's about walking in closeness with God. And that's, to me, that's the thing I want to focus on here. The beauty of it is, like, Daniel stewarded that relationship with God. And I want to bring us into our current time, because we believe that we are in the last days. We believe that those days were consummated at the in the book of Acts, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in front of the thousands, and he quotes Joel chapter 2, and he says, "It shall be in the last days." And he goes on to talk about male, female, no matter your age, no matter how rich or poor you are, or your status in society, everybody is going to have, everybody is going to have the Spirit of God, and you're going to have gifts. And that's the point. The Spirit of God's going to be out, poured out on everybody. So we have the opportunity, like Daniel did, to walk in a level of relationship where God would reveal those sorts of things to us. And that does happen, and it's happening all over the place.
Absolutely. And that is the point of all of it, is the relationship. How do you keep your relationship, you know, we talked about, in a culture that wants to take you into a different mindset? They want to impose their beliefs upon you. And that's what we live in. Nobody wants to believe in God. Nobody wants to follow the way. And yet when we do, we find that peace, that life, that direction, the purpose, the identity, all the things that everybody's out searching for in this relationship. And if we could get our perspective to change, this has been my biggest battle, is to change our perspective on it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what title I have. It doesn't matter what church or what organization or what job I have. It matters how I'm walking with Christ, because ultimately this is what's going to bring fulfillment in my life. You know, you look at the way Daniel stewarded his visions because of his relationship with God. We can go back and look at some of the others that got dreams and visions that didn't steward it real well, and it didn't end up in their favor for a little while. Like, Joseph. They had the same thing. They were revealed the future, and they were given prophetic things, but Joseph, he was a selfish steward that said, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." Ultimately, we know that he followed God's will. But Daniel was like, "Wow, that's really cool. Okay, God, I love you. This is it. I just want to serve you and be with you and know you and have the, I just bring it into my everyday life. King, you had a dream? Well, just give me a chance. I'm going to go talk to God, and he's going to give me the interpretation." Mm-hmm. That's a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Something else just came to my mind. This is going to be a little off from that. It's not going to flow so well, but you know, in our modern day, there's been a lot of talk about, like, hell, is it real? Is it not? Is it everlasting? Is it not? Mm-hmm. And, it's funny, because even the Jews argued this in Jesus's day. But I want to read you some portion of scripture that's really interesting, because I have yet to hear somebody quote Daniel, but Daniel saw something that is yet to come that aligns very much with Revelation. And it says this in chapter 12, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake," which is the resurrection, "some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And it's like, I think people forget, like, Daniel got to see some stuff, man. He got to hear some stuff. I mean, he not only saw deliverance for his own nation, so to speak, and times and seasons. He got the date of the era of when the Messiah would be born and when he would be cut off. Like, those numbers align. And then we find the same language that we see in the book of Revelation, and it aligns not only with Revelation, but with what other disciples and other prophets have seen about the coming days. And that's incredible to me. I've really appreciated this series And something that I love that I've been hearing people say outside of us is to be a Daniel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be a Daniel in your day, in your time, in your place. Like, how can you live to be a Daniel? And if there's anything that we want people to gain and glean from this, is that. And I'm wondering, like, what have you guys heard? I've heard different people talk about it and use example of their life, like what's happening in their life. And they're thinking, like, how do I be a Daniel?
Mm-hmm. I've heard it a lot in the youth. We've been saying it a lot. Just be a Daniel in your school. Just stand up and be who he's made you to be. And that's essentially what the bottom line is be who he's made you to be. He didn't make you to be Daniel. Like, don't be Daniel. Be a Daniel. Be a figure that stands up in your relationship with Jesus in a way that stands out in this culture. And that's exactly how we become unique, our created person. Because I can only do it the way I can do it. And when I try and do it like you, Shane, or you, Jacob, or, and, you know, it might be really weird if I tried to do it like Andrew.
Please don't. But
It takes away from who I am.
Yeah.
And that's scary and beautiful because it means I don't have to copy you and I can listen to God. And what he's telling me might actually be right. Because just because it's not something that's been seen before means, that's actually what I was created for. Mm-hmm. Right. How do I be Daniel? I have to have the relationship with Jesus in order to listen and hear to obey.
Right.
And I think people get the obey part as a, oh, he's going to make me do something so scary and so impossible. And it might be impossible without him.
Obeying's a lot more simple than that.
But it's not, it's not scary most of the time.
It's just not going against God's word. Yeah. That's obeying God.
Yeah.
It's safety. Think about a parent. What are the things that you ask your children to do to obey? Things to keep them safe because you love them. That is exactly
their,
what, you
their
know.
Their well-being. And, their,
totally.
Their
health.
So they'd be healthy and prosperous.
And sometimes it sucks to obey as a child. Man.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to eat
our
my Doritos
will
for dinner.
Is out there. Same with our Heavenly Father.
And one of the things that I've been sharing with the high school boys at youth is that, Mike, you touched on it a while ago, but like you choosing to be quote unquote unique is so not unique at all. Like you're not somebody when you're just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When I all talk like I'm a gangster and I rebel against authority.
It's
and
not
I,
cool. That's not, it's not fun. It's not unique.
Everybody's doing it.
You're not different.
That is actually just society.
It's not that mom and dad don't understand me. It's,
come on.
It's that we 1,000% understand who you are. And we want something better for you. And that's exactly how God sees
us. I got to read you this. I saw this the other day. It was so awesome. It was like a Instagram meme, but it says, man, parenting really is a crash course in theology. You have someone made in your image who you love so desperately, you can hardly stand it. But half the time, they're convinced you're trying to make them miserable when everything you're doing is actually for their ultimate good.
I saw that too. I love it.
It's so real though. Yep. And it's so our own lives become such a great example of that. I was thinking about our series Sentence or our series In a Sentence, which is Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon didn't live in Daniel. And I'm going to go back to what you were saying, Mike, because God made us unique and to be uniquely us, but yet with some of the same characteristics, the things that we can learn from Daniel is loving God, honoring God, walking in relationship, not allowing the poison of our culture to poison us, not to be a person of the culture, but to be different, to be set apart. This was the whole existence of Israel was to be an example, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to reveal to the nations, all nations, who God really is. And we have been grafted into that as Christian messianic believers. Like we are to adopt that same identity, meaning to be set apart, to exemplify God's goodness in our culture. And we get to walk in this. Again, I'm going to go back to this whole, the last few chapters of Daniel is all about prophecy and dreams and visions and encounters, supernatural encounters. And it's like, my friends, that is for us today. Like, it was clear that in the last days, this is what will be like. And God can utilize those things for you to reach out to the community around us.
Right. And again, the point is relationship and not these. So I think that's where it just needs to flip. These things will happen. These things can happen. He wants these things to happen, but it's not that's what we seek. We seek the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when that's the first thing, it kind of flips what we do in a culture on its head, because that's backwards. It should be about what I do. How do I?
Culture is backwards. Yeah, how do I? Earthly.
Well, it is. It's an upside down kingdom, as they say. But how do I shift my perspective so that I'm more focused on the being with him rather than the doing? Because the doing comes from the being.
Yeah.
And we can't even sit still and have a conversation with people anymore in our physical realm. And so it's so hard to understand that, okay, God, I can't do anything for you if I don't have healing. I can't do anything for you if I don't have prophecy. I can't do anything for you if I don't have some kind of gift that I can go do something. He's like, no, no, this is what I want. I want you to know me like I know you.
Mm. Right.
That's it. And from all that, you're going to get the rest of it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think Daniel is one of the best examples you have. He lived in a place not ever seeking self-promotion, not ever trying to get ahead of the next guy.
Yep.
It was all about his relationship with God above all things, even death. And in that, things happened.
And he also didn't brag and boast about his relationship and like brag and boast about the things that God was using him for. And he simply documented them. He simply lived it out. And that created such a massive impact in the culture around him. So massive, in fact, and you talked about this, that hundreds of years later, the Magi that would come to see Jesus were influenced by the work and the presence of Daniel of this era.
That part blows my mind. Like, non-believers, really. Like, people that are doing evil
magicians?
Things. Yeah, what? People that are doing evil things remember and have these documents that are so important to them that they're tracking the history, yet the people who are supposed to know and remember and should be completely in line, no clue.
Yeah.
Love that.
Even in Daniel's day, not he wasn't just an example to the Babylonians. He was an example to his own people.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of Daniel's life, Daniel set the stage for Ezra to go up against King Cyrus and say, let us go back to our homeland.
Yeah, for sure.
And because of that impact, King Cyrus relented and
he
even funded their trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as we close this up, be a Daniel. And really figure out that what that means. If you're listening for the first time, go back and check out this series. We're also getting ready to start a new series called Doctrine with some hot topics. So we invite you to join us. We're going to be digging into baptism with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, women in leadership ministry, and the topic of, quote, eternal salvation, unquote. And so that's going to be a fun one. I know we're going to have some lots
good
of things to say, and good conversation on that. So join us next week. We're going to start it off with baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so thank you for joining us today. I pray that you have a blessed week and that you have opportunities around you to be a Daniel.